The House will come to order. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Flake.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell. Campbell. Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Gay, here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Greer,
here.
Green,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Kasparic,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley, Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Petroff,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Peters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Braunisch,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Shepperson excused. 59 present, 1 excused.
Please stand and join us in prayer with the Reverend Robin Chance.
Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, you proclaim your truth in every age by many voices. Direct this House of Representatives of the beautiful state of Wyoming with the gifts you have bestowed upon them. Knowledge to understand the needs of the people of this state, our country, and the world. Wisdom to discern the wise use of the resources of Wyoming and its population. Sincerity of heart to guide them. And creativity to think beyond the boundaries of conventionality. We pray that in our time, those who speak where many listen and write what many read will be guided by your will, that they may do their part in making the heart of this people wise, its mind sound, its will righteous, and its living holy, to the honor and glory of your mighty wisdom. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We are at that order of business, Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 4th, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparyk, Representative Freeman.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I'd like to introduce you to our junior page today, Finnegan Stubson, who is 9 years old and is a third grader at Fort Casper Academy in Casper. And his classmates may be listening in on the internet. So anyway, if you would give Finnegan a warm welcome.
And if you'll hold your applause for just a second, we have the doctor of the day, Dr. David Gaida from here in Cheyenne, and then Representative Peterson is going to introduce our nurses of the day.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in good hands today. We have a medical staff from Mountain View, Wyoming, to our ends. If they'd please just advance up there and look at us and wave. Lori Morgan and Annetta Cantlin, please welcome them.
We're at that order of business, Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 134.
Senate File 134, introduced by Senator Perkins.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to liens.
Senate File 134 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 135.
Senate File 135, introduced by Senator Nicholas.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public funds, University of Wyoming, federal mineral royalties.
Senate File 135 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 7.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, introduced by Senator Dockstetter.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution regarding bark beetle mitigation.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 7 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 1.
Senate Joint Resolution 1, introduced by Senator Hicks.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution dealing with the right to hunt, fish, and trap.
Senate Joint Resolution 1 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 113.
Senate File 113, introduced by Senator Johnson.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to professional surveyors and engineers.
Senate File 113 is referred to Committee Number 7. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 147.
Senate File 147, introduced by Senator Dockstetter.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to county sheriff's service of process fees.
Senate File 147 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 131.
Senate File 131, introduced by Senator Schiffer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the military department federally funded positions.
Senate File 131 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 95.
Senate File 95, introduced by Senator Meyer.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to legislative committee membership.
And Senate File 95 is referred to Committee Number 12, Rules. We're at that order of business, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 7, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, No, Brechtel, Excused, Brown, signed, Representative Brechtel, Vice Chair. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom is referred Senate File 21, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Goggles, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlek, Vronish, signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 108, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Camel, Childers, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Semlek, No, Goggles, Excused, Vronish, signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 33, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson. No, Yeagy, signed representing McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 41, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yeagy, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 90.
House Bill 90, introduced by Representative Byrd, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
House Bill 90 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer House or Senate File 33 to your committee number 2, Appropriations. It has an appropriation.
It's been moved for re-referral, House Bill 33, to committee number 2, Appropriations. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 191.
House Bill 191, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding wind power taxation.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 191 and ask for your favorable consideration. And just sort of foreshadowing, you will see two other amendments there, 2 and 3. 3 will go away if we approve the first two, but the first two are a little bit interrelated, so I may refer to both of them in this discussion. As we had that spirited debate on Friday, I mentioned to you that the local governments were not satisfied with the nature of distribution in 191, either as drafted or as it came out of the standing committee. And we sat down and spent some considerable time and effort to restructure the distribution in a way that the county or that the local governments really support. And with this distribution and with the amendment coming that would front load the impact assistance, the local governments are very supportive of both those amendments and of the bill with those amendments. And just to this is a very lengthy amendment. A number of the provisions in here are tightening up and clarifying how the impact assistance works and how the process is done, how application is made, how those funds are distributed. So the meat of the amendment is on page 4, where it outlines and replaces the distribution that was found in the standing committee amendment. And I handed out a very fancy chart that you should find in your box. It says second reading amended distribution that gives you just a visual, which I think is an easier way to conceptualize how the flows work given this amendment. And as you will recall, the bill as it came out of committee had a 20% flow to an impact assistance fund, and then the rest of the 80% was divided up as sales taxes are usually divided up. What this does is it simply does away with that 20% flow. All the $3 per megawatt excise tax would flow as sales tax flows with a couple of exceptions. And if you look down to the state share there, the 69.31%, initially what would happen is 80% of those state funds would flow in to the impact assistance. And if we pass the upcoming amendment where it's front-loaded, it would flow into that impact assistance to repay the front-loading. Otherwise, it would flow in until that fund reaches $15 million. And it, with 20% flowing to the general fund, because the state does have, there is an impact on the state, and the state needs resources to deal with those impacts. After either that amount is repaid or the $15 million is reached, you see the figures in parentheses there, And that's sort of the trigger where it flips, where there's a continuing flow of the 15% into the Impact Assistance Fund with 85% going to the general fund. Importantly, you know, there were a number of concerns articulated on Friday regarding how long is it going to take, if we do front load this, how long is it going to take to repay those monies from the Impact Assistance Funds. This flow really takes care of those, it addresses some of those concerns too. The dollar figures we were working on shows that just one 200 megawatt project, which is sort of typical of what we have seen to date, would be able to pay off the entire $15 million impact assistance through that 80% flow. And so it's not a situation where you're going to have to be out, hanging out, waiting for that repayment on future development. So this is the flow. Again, this is supported by local governments, and with this, they are supportive of the bill. I'd ask your favorable vote on the amendment and would take any questions that you may have on it at this time.
Anyone for their first time? Representative Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was reading this fancy handout, and if I add those numbers up right, 69.318 and 30.64 and 1%, I think it comes up to 101%. And I'm trying to back reference it to the bill, but your explanation ended before I had a chance to answer that.
Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The 800-pound gorilla in this amendment is really the way that we come about obtaining the impact funds of the $15 million. So I continue to be somewhat troubled by this methodology where we ask a diversion coming from the proceeds of the sales tax that would flow to the state to be diverted and go into this fund. I really have some problems with that. When you look at this amendment as it affects the bill, as it compares to the placeholders that we now have in statute, with respect to the sales tax exemption on manufacturing that's going to go off the end of this year, that amount on the average around the counties is 5.2%, and only 75% of that it really qualifies for the exemption. So it's really a pretty small amount that we're asking our wind developers to come up with to help fund the impact at the beginning. It's the developer's responsibility to mitigate these and not the general public as a whole, as it's contemplated in this amendment. So I would ask that we'd be somewhat cautious about moving this change of responsibility that's advocated in this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess to build on those good comments of caution, remind the bringer of the amendment and the sponsor of the bill of the many requests from last week for some detailed spreadsheets that show and compare what this bill does compared to what we're doing now, and of course the purpose and need for doing that. To the benefit of who and why. So, again, I would ask for where are all of the spreadsheets that were requested so we can understand the impacts of these amendments, Mr. Speaker.
For your first time, Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For my first time, I do have a question on the chart here. We're looking at a $3 excise tax. As my understanding is that excise tax of $3 doesn't kick in until 2032. That would be my first question. And second question is, if we're going to use that excise tax base of $3, we'd have to look back to when we were looking at the 25 cent, 75 cents, a dollar, and so forth. Would we be doing that? That would be my second question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Bonner, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have no difficulty at all in following the good representative's distribution drawing. I follow it all. Just one troubling word I heard in the explanation of it was the word repay, and I'd like to have some comment on that. I don't believe there's any borrowing, or at least I can't follow any borrowing in this, but would you answer that question, please, about what is being repaid? Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Second time? Second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me take those in turn. And the good representative from Laramie County pointed out why I shouldn't have done this as late as I did. The figures are actually, it's state share 69%, just round down, 69% on state share, 30% on local share, and then counties is the 1%. So there was that's how we get to the 101%. There was some discussion about these flows into the impact assistance, and I think in evaluating that, remember how impact assistance works currently under the Industrial Siting Act, and that is a flow from analogous tax flow. So you have a sales tax flow, a sales tax increase that's measured, and out of those sales tax flows, a certain percentage goes to the local governments to deal with impact. We are just sort of analogizing that to this. Because sales tax is wrapped into this generation tax, this excise tax, we are taking a portion of that and flowing it off into the impact assistance, just as it would had if the sales tax had remained in place. And that's because this excise tax incorporates the sales tax. And so you're taking a concept that we're kind of used to, and you're just tweaking it a little bit, but it's the same general principle that what would have been sales tax increase is now excise tax, and that flows into the impact assistance to make sure that local governments have what they need to deal with development. There was a discussion or a question about the generation tax kicking in, the $3 generation tax kicking in at 2032. And remember, that's only on incumbent producers. Anybody who starts, who begins generating electricity after January 1st, 2012, immediately begins paying the full $3 excise tax. So if you have a 200 megawatt plant that that begins producing after January 1st, 2011, those flows immediately start going as outlined here, and again would repay, and I'll get to this in just a second, repay the impact assistance fund just out of that one single development. And the good representative from up north mentioned there's no reference to repayment or in this amendment. I'm sort of fast-forwarding to the next amendment that we'll be talking about, which contemplates a loan from the LSRA into the Impact Assistance Fund and then a repayment of that loan from these flows over time. And that's the repayment I was talking about. Without the coming amendment, what would happen is these funds would simply build up over time. With the amendment, we have these in place immediately to deal with impacts. And we have... certainly, I do have anybody who wants to see specific figures in how this potentially impacts different entities receiving the tax funds. I'd be glad to share those with you, and I could pile those on you probably. But let me just say this, that in talking with the local governments about this, this is a distribution plan that they have looked at, they accept, and they approve of. And to me, that's the most important thing, is they are happy with this and believe that this answers their impacts. So with that, I'd call for the question.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 191, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please stand.
29.
Those opposed? Second reading, amendment number 1 to House Bill 191 is adopted. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 191 and ask for your favorable consideration. And this is the preview that I tried to give you before. What this amendment would do is it would front-load the Impact Assistance Fund with a $15 million loan from the LSRA, and it would set up a repayment schedule where the 80% flows from the state share would flow back to the LSRA until that repayment of the $15 million is made, and then you would see the trigger or the toggle in the percentages to what I outlined, the 15% and 85%. So after that $15 million is repaid, then there'd be a continual stream into the Impact Assistance Fund that builds up over time and is there to meet the needs of the counties. The thing to remember is on the Impact Assistance Fund, if you have a smaller development, for example, the example I used earlier, the 200-megawatt development, it is not going to take that $15 million. It's likely going to only take a very small portion of that, but yet it'll be repaying that over time and at a rate that probably will allow us to repay that before that impact assistance is ever actually fully expended. So this is a way to answer those concerns about what about the first development after we pass this bill. And it makes sure that the state is held harmless in this regard. So with that, I would take any questions that you might have on second reading amendment number 2.
Anyone for their first time? First time? Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking against the second reading amendment to House Bill 91, ladies and gentlemen, of course, what we have in front of us before this discussion is a fair and equitable tax that local governments like, our citizens like, and it addresses the needs of the state and the impacts of this emerging industry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what we have in a second reading amendment is an amendment with an appropriation. We had some discussions about how we basically ignored the good work of the Revenue Committee in the interim and without any recognition to the challenges of this important tax policy and bring a bill from an individual. And now we seem to still see a way that, in my mind, is a way around our good committee process to where we now have a second reading amendment with an appropriation that has not withstood the scrutiny of Appropriations Committee. And believe me, we have good chairmen that work in our body that respects this and re-refers many, many bills for our scrutiny. So our state's interests are looked after. And again, speaking against this, just out of a matter of principle and upholding the process of our body. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I believe that the body at times needs to look at legislation like this and make decisions that sometimes don't flow through to the Appropriations Committee. That will, however, be scrutinized on the other side through the Appropriations Committee. So just to vote against something because it has an appropriation and didn't get looked at by our Appropriations Committee before we had discussion on the floor sometimes is not the right way, I think, to approach this legislation on and for the amendment.
Chairman Simlek.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On the against amendment, but not for those same reasons, whether or not it has an appropriation. This is, as my colleague who had spoke previously said, this is a fairness issue where through the other types of development that we have going on in this state with energy development through using our other natural resources, when we have those projects going on, they're asked to pay for this assistance through the sales tax. There's no sales tax in this. The sales tax has been taken out. We're diverting the generation tax. We're setting aside one industry here and say we're not going to treat you like we do everybody else. Everybody else, we say, that qualifies under the impact assistance, that a diversion from the sales tax that they pay will go into this. It doesn't require any backfill. It doesn't require any appropriations. We're saying, come to our state. We welcome you. There's going to be a sales tax on a portion of the equipment that you have, and we're going to divert a part of that to help the impact from our counties. We're not going to ask everybody through the general fund or through the legislative stabilization reserve account to say, we're going to pony up and help you. We're going to say, come, you're welcome, but you need to be accountable for the impact that you cause. We welcome the economic incentives. We don't welcome that opportunity, but you're going to participate in that the way we ask everybody else to. So on against the amendment.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, on and for the amendment, and because of our tax structure, we have difficulty in attracting businesses to this state. And we've had some innovative ways of doing this. This is just but one of them. Unusual? Sure. But the point that people need to understand is if we don't do this, they're going to go somewhere else. And the other important thing is it's eventually going to mean revenue to this state. And we're trying to address that. And I'm sure that the Revenue Committee, we will have a good look at the tax structure of this particular industry in the interim to be able to do things or even tweak this. But I think the important thing to know, the approach made to help the counties and towns, we're doing it. But also, we need to give that industry a break to be able to say this is the state that we need to move to, besides the wind that we have that the industry is going to profit by generating electricity. The investment, the large investment that they have, we're setting up a structure to allow a decent way to pay it out, and we're going to get paid back. So I'm on and for the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you. Just a question on this. With regard to the $15 million for the impact assistance, and we were talking about the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, regarding the timing of this, if that goes to the impact assistance fund as set out in the handout, and we have the repayment plan in this second reading amendment number 2, and I tried to read these in conjunction, what's the timeline for repayment of the $15 million to the LSRA, and what are the possibilities of the $15 million in impact assistance being spent, in other words, distributed to local governments, and the flow back to the LSRA, depending on the development of the industry, not equaling $15 million. I mean, is that a possibility, or would it take 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. That's one of my concerns. Or is there a trigger mechanism in there where the impact assistance money cannot be spent unless it's relative to the flow back to repay the LSRA?
Anyone else for their first time? First time? On to our second time. Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Stubbs.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. To answer the good speaker's questions first, it really does, the scope or the timing on the repayment depends upon the scope of development. What happens under this amendment is the $15 million is transferred to the Impact Assistance Fund. Now, remember, with no additional development whatsoever in the state, we begin a flow of revenues on January 1st, 2012 to repay this $15 million loan to the Impact Assistance Fund from existing the incumbent producers. So that graduated scale we saw in the bill, those tax flows begin immediately. So even if there's no drawdown whatsoever on the $15 million, it begins to be paid back immediately, the $15 million does. And really, the speed of that repayment totally depends upon the scope of development. I mean, it will be repaid even if there was no additional development in the state. It would be repaid. It would be a much longer time frame. But if you merely have 200 or 400 megawatt capacity development over the next couple of years, then that repayment is going to take place in a matter of a few years rather than the long time horizon with the incumbent producers. Just to get back to, this is a unique approach to funding impact assistance in the state. I think it's a better approach in many respects. When we had the initial wind task force, we had a number of local governments come in and say they did not like the way we handle impact assistance, because you can have a huge development, but if we're in a recessionary time, those sales tax revenues don't increase. And so you can have a huge development, huge impacts, no increase in sales tax in general in that county, and they get no impact assistance whatsoever under our current formula. And that's a huge flaw. This is actually a unique way that ensures that doesn't happen. If there's a development, even in a recessionary time frame, they are going to be assured to get that 2% of the project value to deal with the impact assistance. So I would actually foresee that if this works in this context, it may be a model for us to look at in other industrial developments. So new is not necessarily bad. I think new can be innovative and can answer some of the many challenges we've had with our current impact assistance. And with that, I'd urge your aye vote.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 191, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed? Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 191 has failed. Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, I would withdraw second reading amendment number 3.
It's been moved for withdrawal of second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 191. Hearing no objection, the amendment is withdrawn. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I submit second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 191. This bill is really simple in concept. And what it does is it takes out the existing tax amount that's there and instead replaces with it a tax that's equal to the total dollar amount that the industry receives in federal subsidies. So if the federal subsidies go away, the tax would go away. And, of course, the argument to this amendment is going to be that, well, if the federal subsidies if we took those away from the industry, then the industry is going to go away. And in a sense, that's kind of my point. This industry wouldn't exist if it weren't for all the federal subsidies going on. And I just want people to think carefully about this issue before we proceed. And to kind of drive my point home, if you remember, during the last presidential campaign and the months leading up to it, there was a billionaire from the Lone Star State touting his energy plan and how we were going to gain energy independence for America using wind. And that billionaire invested over $1 billion of his personal money in the Lone Star State, putting up wind farms. And he just recently, within the last couple months, announced that he had come to the conclusion that it did not work. He could not find a way to make it work, and he's actually disabling all of the wind farms that he put up across the Lone Star State. My fear that I want people to think about is what happens if in a few years the federal government decides not to subsidize this industry anymore and it causes it to go away, and we've jumped in with both feet in an effort to put these towers all over our state. What happens to them? What if all the companies go bankrupt and they're not working? Are we going to be stuck with the expense of taking them down, with the eyesore of them all over our state? And I think we'd all agree they don't look very nice. If they actually improved the look of the landscape, I think somebody probably would have proposed to put them on that state land in that national park instead of giving it to the federal government. But obviously that didn't happen because of what it would do to the look. So I just want us as a body to think carefully about the long-term effects of subsidizing an industry that is only in existence because of the federal government subsidies and what might happen if those go away, and just use caution in proceeding on this issue. The last thing I'm going to say before I open it up to any questions is when LSO was drafting this amendment, they couldn't quite figure out how to technically make this work. So at the end of our discussion, I am going to withdraw this amendment. So if your sole point in standing up is to say this won't work for technical reasons, I know that, and I will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Thank you.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If the bringer of the amendment could review for us, I'm remembering some round numbers. You know, when we voted on the production tax last year for a dollar, the number that sticks in my mind is that the federal subsidies on that was in the range of $21 to $23 a megawatt. And if you could clarify that, and then how would this apply? I also remember a 30% number as far as a reimbursement for capital construction. And how would this interact with that type of a subsidy?
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to remind the body that we've been working on this quite a while. We have spent quite a long time discussing with the counties, the cities, and all the parties concerned. What you have in front of you is the current best thing that we can come up with. The industry is at a tipping point. We need to get on with this. For those of you who have not been in this body before, there are provisions and clawbacks in there that require them to remove wind towers when they are done generating wind. We have taken care of all that. I would suggest that you go read the history that is involved in this all the way back to its start, and then you'll understand why we are here where we are today. So we need to get on and vote this up.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to push back on that last comment, having served on the committee that looked and reviewed the last tax bill, which actually died in committee, this isn't the best that we've done. This is a privately sponsored bill that hasn't been reviewed by a committee, that almost put a $15 million appropriation without having gone to appropriations. I don't know who in the industry they've talked to. It might be a great deal for some and maybe not for others. I have no idea. No idea, because it hasn't been done in an open process in a committee. We had bills in committee, and they weren't working correctly. This is not that simple of a subject. So I wanted to push back on that. As far as bringing down a windmill after it's done with production, that works if the company's still solvent. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time, second time, prior to the sponsor? Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It was just a discussion I wanted to have because I did want to urge caution and make sure that we were thinking ahead about the potential impacts, and I will withdraw the amendment at this time.
Second reading, amendment number 4 to House Bill 191 has been withdrawn. House Bill 191 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 194.
House Bill 194, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to driver's licenses, next of kin driver's license option.
House Bill 194 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 204.
House Bill 204, introduced by Representative Gay, an act relating to public school patriotism in the classroom.
Representative Zwanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 204 and would ask your favorable consideration. What I'm trying to propose here is a clarification of how this bill reads. As you look at the bill, it basically says that there will be no flag or banner above the U.S. flag. And what I did is right after the last session, I went out to one of our elementary schools, and in the last few years here in the county, we have built several cookie-cutter elementary schools. And as you walk into one of the classrooms, the ceilings are on a taper. And as you go into the far side of the classroom where the teacher teaches, there is a flag that is hung there. And coincidentally, we did measure it as 22 by 32, I believe, is what their standard size is. Of course, we changed that with an amendment before. But then all the way up above on all these schools, they have built like a 6-inch cork board that goes across. And on that cork board, they have at least, I didn't visit all the classrooms, but I visited 3 or 4 in that particular elementary school. And they have neat little banners that talk about education is a positive thing and learn to learn and cute little things like that. So all my amendment is proposing to do, and I hope it's a friendly amendment, is saying that in the fact that we do have that design in the schools now, that any information that's put above the American flag will be have something to do with education and such. And my other thought is, if we can't have a banner, maybe the cork board itself would be considered a banner, and thus we would have to be taking a lot of those down in our school systems, and I would stand back for any comments.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is actually the first time I've had a chance to speak on this bill, and I'm okay with this amendment. I'm on and for the amendment. My hometown actually has 4 high schools, which may be news to some of us. 2 of them are big mainstream high schools. One is named after the county. One is named after a former school administrator in the county. One of the other smaller high schools is named after a president. And the 4th high school is named after an avenue of celestial bodies. A few years ago, I went in the avenue of celestial bodies alternate high school and saw banners of the chairman of the party of the most populous country on earth, his effigy hanging from the ceiling. This is the author of the little red book that everybody in that country had to read and carry with them. There was also an effigy of a certain revolutionary figure from a Caribbean island who shows up on people's T-shirts wearing a beret and a mustache. These portrayals hung from the ceiling of the Avenue of Celestial Bodies High School, and there was no evidence in the high school that there was an American flag. Sort of an unsavory situation for me. My intention of this bill is that this flag right here and the Republic for which it stands be honored and not be dishonored with anything that people do intentionally to dishonor it. So on and for the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 204, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 204 has been adopted. House Bill 204 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 225.
House Bill 225, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act relating to charter schools.
House Bill 225 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 227.
House Bill 227, introduced by Representative Gay, an act relating to education, constitution, instruction.
House Bill 227 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 232.
House Bill 232, introduced by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to workers' compensation impairment ratings.
House Bill 232 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 243.
House Bill 243, introduced by Representative Crone, an act relating to human remains, training of search and rescue dogs.
House Bill 243 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 252.
House Bill 252, introduced by Representative Harvey, an act relating to administration of government, review of state executive department positions.
House Bill 252 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 253.
House Bill 253, introduced by Representative Kasparyk, an act relating to nursing, the Wyoming Nurse Practice Act Amendment.
House Bill 253 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 264.
House Bill 264, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to education, Hathaway Scholarships, school notifications.
House Bill 264 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Brothers and sisters of the 61st, House Bill 211 is off the consent list. Mr. Speaker, I move a consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 7, 135, 144, 151, 161, 190, 193, 202, 203, 206, 209, 215, 217, 223, 224, 249, and 254.
Does anyone wish to remove a bill from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill 7, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the Veterinarian Medical Practice Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 135, introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to state lands regarding improvements, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 144, introduced by Representative Kraft, an act relating to public school district bonds, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 151, introduced by Representative Semlek, an act relating to state loan and investment board hydropower development, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 161, introduced by Representative Illaway, an act relating to the interstate compact on students of military families, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 190, introduced by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, an act relating to electronic fine submittal, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 193, introduced by Representative Childers, an act relating to welfare nursing care facility assessment, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 202, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to railroad fence repairs, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 203, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to domestic relations regarding child support orders, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 206, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to the Wyoming Emergency Response Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 209, introduced by Representative Green, an act relating to public health emergency medical review organizations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 215, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to administration of government regarding the Department of Health reorganization, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 217, introduced by Representative Lubnow, an act relating to the legislature production states agreement, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 223, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to property disclosure statement and wind estate, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 224, introduced by Representative Miller, an act relating to property regarding platted plots requirement, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 249, introduced by Representative Nicholas, an act relating to criminal procedure regarding acceptance of a citation, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 254, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to property taxation appeals, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson excused, Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Bronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 7, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 135, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 144, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 151, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 161, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 190, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 193, are there any changes? Korberg? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 202, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 203, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 206, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 209, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 215, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 217, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 223, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 224, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to House Bill 249, are there any changes? Brechtel? Aye to no. Edmonds? Aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 ayes, 8 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 254, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 7, 135, 144, 151, 161, 190, 193, 202, 203, 206, 209, 215, 217, 223, 224, 249, and 254 have passed the House. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill.
First. Mr. Speaker.
I apologize. I didn't see you back there. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I would like to introduce a young lady that's a family friend and a supporter of public education from Sheridan, Jackie Herod. Jackie?
Representative Barbuto.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Up here behind you in the gallery is a good friend of mine, a guy I've known for quite some time. He's a teacher, he's a veteran, and he's not a bad guy on top of that. By way of Minnesota, from my hometown, Dan Weber.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce Paul Fall, our county assessor from Sheridan County. Nice to have friends from the north.
Representative Hunt.
Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you up to your right my parents, Donna and Tracy Hunt.
Welcome to the House. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 39.
House Bill 39, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to administration of government regarding health litigation fund, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 39 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger. Blake,
no.
Flickery,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Botten,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
no.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Patterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson, excuse, Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne, Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 50 aye, 9 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 39, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 39 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 174.
House Bill 174, introduced by Representative McComey, an act relating to state lands regarding designated transfer of state lands, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 174, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Boughton.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Eklund. Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz. Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Ronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 12 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 174, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 174 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 211.
House Bill 211, introduced by Representative Throne, an act relating to County Memorial Hospital, board members' removal, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring before you third reading amendment number one to House Bill 211, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, what we're trying to achieve here is a little bit of a balance in how we deal with hospital board members. We need to provide for a right of removal by county commissioners, which currently doesn't exist at all. County commissioners cannot remove hospital board members, and that's led to a lot of difficulties, particularly in the mother county, as we like to call it. I was just checking to see if the good representative from the mother county was listening, and he is. In any event, this amendment represents a balance. It would provide removal for just cause, which is the same language that currently exists in removal provisions for planning and zoning, and then to preserve confidentiality, it prohibits a public hearing. So I would ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I consider it a friendly amendment. It does balance the thing out a little bit. It says to the county commissioners, look, if they're coming to you and they're asking you to write checks and the hospital's in trouble, at least from the commissioner's point of view, it's in trouble, then it does leave them an avenue to dismiss trustees of the hospital, but it has to be for just cause. There's not a great big public hearing thing. It's not a great big deal. It just kind of admonishes the commissioners that you can't do it arbitrarily, and I'm okay with that, so I consider it a friendly amendment.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? You good? Representative Throne.
Unless there are no questions, I would just call for the question.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to House Bill 211, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number one to House Bill 211 has been adopted. House Bill 211, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo. Berger, Flake,
aye.
Blickrey,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Boughton,
aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway. Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson excused, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Bronish, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
House Bill 230, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 211, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 211 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 230.
House Bill 230, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to condemnation, eminent domain, wind energy collector systems, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 230, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer. Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Lockhart, no, Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Miller, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson excused, Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Ronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Brown, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 6 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 230, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 230 has passed the House. Representative Barbudo.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I won't do this all day, but it's just so darn exciting when we have people from Sweetwater County here that I know you want to take a moment to recognize them. And up in the gallery, not one, but two of my former teachers, my third grade teacher, Linda Merrill, and my junior high math teacher, Carol Jellicoe, up there. So give them a round of applause and thank them for coming down. What's that?
We're at that order of business. We're going to do some reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred House Bill 213. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do not pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 244, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Esquivel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
We are at that order of business. Consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Welcome to the last day of general file in the House of Origin. There is some reordering that we're going to do. The third bill on your list, House Bill 237, please move it down below House Bill number 10. And that is at the request of the sponsor. House Bill 213, which was just read in, please place that below House Bill 237. After House Bill 198, which is the sixth one on your list, place House Bill 244. The plan for today is to work through House Joint Resolution 7 or 6 p.m., whichever comes first. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House has resolved itself into committee of the whole. Representative Harshman.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 248. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 248, introduced by Representative Byrd, an act relating to crimes and offenses, unlawful protesting at a funeral. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended it do pass. I, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Quarberg, Vranish, Swanitzer, Dave, signed, Representative Quarberg, Chairman.
Representative Quarberg, Chairman Quarberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 48 do pass, and I turn the bill over to the good sponsor from House District 44.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good members of the House, I bring you today House Bill 248. What this does is amends current statute and adds another 600 feet to a protest distance and adds some clarifying language to the bill, limiting it to funerals and related memorial services. Friends of the 61st, I bring this to you because I am concerned of what is happening across our countries. The funeral service and memorials are a solemn service, and I truly believe that if there is one time in this country and the families that live here should have peace and quiet and not have to worry about any interruptions or protests or other things going on, this is that time.
Okay.
It's troubling. Lately, we had a group come up to a city to the north and attempt to protest. It also brought in another group to counter-protest. Ladies and gentlemen, the way we can help mitigate this is push this distance out and send a message to the rest of the country that we will respect the funeral and memorial service regardless of who is being honored and interned. And those people should just not come here. In the event that they do, we will push them back far enough as where I think that the family can have this ceremony in peace and quiet and given the respect that they can. And at that point, it's a fairly simple bill, and I will stand for questions.
Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Chairman, notes, I think this is a great bill, and I think it's wonderful. I just wanted to know, and just for education purposes, the movement from 300 to 900, what was the reason for 900 or 1,000 or a mile? Or I just wanted to get some little bit of feedback on what the conversation was about that. I think it's a great idea, but maybe it's not far enough.
Further discussion, Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, fellow representatives, the part on this bill that concerns me is on line 7 and 8, where we say, and the protest, picket, or breach of the peace is directed at the funeral or memorial service. I'm concerned that we would be defining the purpose of this to the point where anybody else could use this occasion for any other sort of protest and just use that time, because there's so many people there, to have a huge protest 900 feet away. So at this point, I would speak on and against this amendment.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to remind folks, we worked on this bill a few years ago, and it was a long process because that 300 was an important issue. There was a lot of case law coming out at that time as to what was the distance that you get to that you're suddenly violating someone's First Amendment rights. At that time, when we were working on this bill, 300 feet was the number that the courts were going with. And so we went with 300. Because I remember the original sponsor of this bill a few years ago had a much larger distance. We had these long conversations about distance. It's my understanding now that some of the case law that's come out is heading more toward this number of 900. So I compliment the sponsor of this bill of recognizing the change in some of the case law and bringing this. So I think that's a good part, expanding to the 900. I mean, the downside is you run the chance that the bill or the statute would be challenged in a court of law, which I think is fine. We can certainly withstand that challenge. There is a pending case in the U.S. Supreme Court dealing with 1,000 feet and whether or not 1,000 feet works. I think by dropping this down 100, it gets us sort of away from that number of 1,000. So this is a good idea on the 900, and I really appreciate him bringing it. But on this other comment, there may be an issue as to this last line as to does the protest. So let's say you do a protest at the time of funeral, because you'll know there'll be a lot of people there, but how do you prove intent that the protest was directed at the funeral? I think the last speaker made a good point that the person being charged with the crime could say, I had no idea there was a funeral going on. I just thought this would be a good place to do my protest. So I'm very curious as to why the last line's put in that could be a difficulty. But the 900 feet's a great idea, and I appreciate that.
Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Taking what the good representative from District 23 said, I read an article about 6 months ago about a family that was squabbling over the nature of the funeral. I don't know whether it had to be one religion or not. And there was quite a scuffle and a lot of yelling and screaming at the cemetery. Is that going to become a crime?
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me address some of the concerns here. The 900-foot distance was calculated out as to be towards the upper end of what the courts are now considering the maximum distance. As the good representative from up north said, there is a Supreme Court case pending relative to the 1,000-foot distance. The majority of the distances seem to be migrating to 500 feet and above. There is case law that substantiates that in the 6th and the 8th Circuit Courts. I guess I'm allowed to say that. The 8th Circuit Court has gone about 50-50 on hearing theirs. So I believe that the 900-foot distance will withstand court test. As for the objection about the language in lines 7 and 8 on page 2, this is clarifying language that was brought in there for the example of in front of this particular building, we have people that gather and assemble out there with all sorts of signage relative to things. If they were out there on a day like a week ago when that little furry critter about that month, about that day in this month, whether winter's going to continue, and they were out there protesting that, we actually have a funeral home that is across the street, and that is well within the existing 300-foot parameter. This particular language clarifies that all of those people attending the protest with that little furry animal will be allowed to assemble, will be allowed their First Amendment rights to protest that. But anyone enjoining that protest with a sign directed at any of the funeral proceedings or directed at that group across or within this perimeter will be subject to fine. So that's why this clarifying language was put in there. I think it helps the bill along. It gives a nice fence around it so that we have direction as to how to implement this.
Any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Korberg's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 248 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House Bill 248 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 246. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 246, introduced by Representative Korberg, an act relating to the Military Department and National Guard disposal of land. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Bonner, Botten, Kennedy, McKim, Peterson, Korberg, Vronish. No, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Peterson, Vice Chair.
Chairman Korberg. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that House Bill 46 do pass, in addition to that, there's Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. I move that with the same recommendation that do pass, and I turn both explanations over to the good Chairman of the Transportation and Military Affairs Committee.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, as a way, the Standing Committee Amendment is a technical correction, and I would like to deal with that first. Page 2, line 19, following the word paragraph, we have to insert a reference to Wyoming Statute 9-2-1016, subsection B, Romanet 8, and that is to make that language consistent with what appears already in statute on line 15. So if there's no questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call for the question.
You've heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Question hasn't been called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Korberg?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, currently in statute, the military department has the right to dispose of property that it holds where they have the title to both the land and the buildings. This, Mr. Chairman, this piece of legislation adds into this same section the same parameters that the military department would have to operate under, but it allows them to dispose of land if they own the building but not the land, or if they own the land but not the building. Mr. Chairman, many of our armories are located in these positions on land that the military department does not own, but they own the building. Many of these armories are being vacated, and this has caused a problem with state agencies and local communities, local governmental entities being able to obtain the vacated armory. So this would allow the military department to make that decision. And I would stand for questions.
Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question being called, all those in favor of Representative Peterson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that House Bill 246 do pass, please say aye. Opposed, say no. House Bill 246 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 260. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 260, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to industrial siting financial resources. This bill was sent to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Greer, Kasparic, Lockhart, Moniz, Stubson, Swanitzer, Dan. No, Byrd, Roscoe, Swanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a recommendation that bill number 260 do pass. And I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to the good representative from the center of the state and a House district number very close to 57.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill I consider in the nature of a cleanup. You'll recall last year we passed significant revisions to the Industrial Siting Act that were part of the wind regulation provisions. And we included in those provisions requirements that any developers must be able to demonstrate that they have the financial wherewithal to decommission and remove facilities, specifically wind towers, if those become inactive or not used. We included the language you see in this bill that's stricken was included, and it became an issue through the rulemaking related to that bill, and really upon further reflection became a concern because this requirement had not existed before in the Industrial Siting Act, but what this language was doing was saying, okay, you, the Industrial Siting Council, must review these projects and see if there's financing for construction and maintenance and operation. And a lot of times that financing isn't even present until after the permitting is done. They obtain the permit, and then they go out and finalize their financing. And so it was sort of putting a cart before the horse a little bit. In addition, it was, in my view, a little bit outside the rubric of the Industrial Siting Council because it was really judging financial viability of projects, which, I mean, in my mind, we don't want them to act as a sort of super banker. So this leaves in place the very strong provisions that we passed last year requiring the financial wherewithal to remove facilities, but it removes this sort of approval or review of financing before the permit. So with that, I would take any questions on the bill.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, when I looked at that, I thought, well, you know, isn't it reasonable for the Siting Council to be concerned about this? I think there's a, you know, to me there's a logical reason why in the process of approving one of these facilities that we need to have some due diligence as far as being assured that we got a project that's actually going to be completed, and once it is completed, that it's going to be operating. I guess I missed the point about, well, we don't know how their financing is arranged at this time, but why couldn't it be? It sounds like we're doing this for convenience, and I just missing. If we take this out, then it tells me that the state is not concerned about whether there's financial resources to construct, maintain, and operate a facility. And that's, you know, I just find that hard to understand, I guess. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question, and I'm not for sure of the answer at this point. I assume that bonding was required for the installation of all these sites. And if the bonding is there, I don't have a problem. I don't know why we need to assure their financial resources. So this makes me wonder whether the bonding is there or not there. I know we've had this discussion before, but if they're already bonded if they disappear and we're left holding this 300-foot tall wind tower out on our public lands, the bonding will take care of the reclamation of that particular site. So, again, please clarify that issue.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As part of the industrial siting process last year, we imposed bonding requirements for wind projects. So there are separate requirements for wind projects. The language that would be removed by this bill is the general language that applies to all industrial facilities. It would include, the Attorney General has now said, data centers. It would include nuclear power plants. It would include coal-fired power plants. It includes unconventional coal plants. It includes everything covered by the Industrial Siting Act. Frankly, I think this was something that slipped into what we did last year. It costs $500,000 to get an industrial siting permit. That's the ballpark figure to do all the application preparation that's required for an industrial siting permit. For these major projects, you have to get your permits in advance before you can go speak to a bank. A bank will not give you financing unless you have your major permits to construct. And frequently in Wyoming, we like to rail against our friends in the federal government who impose unreasonable permitting requirements. But perhaps before we do that, we should get our own shop in order. This requirement, in my opinion, essentially puts a citizen council with, you know, seven random people, not random, they're appointed by the governor, but no particular expertise in energy development, no particular expertise in financing, opining on the business plans of folks who want to spend millions and in some cases billions in our state. The Industrial Siting Act has been in place since 1977. The purpose of the Industrial Siting Act is to help local communities prepare for development. And in further response to the bonding question, there is another provision in the statute that requires a company to post a bond to cover the expenses that a municipality might incur. For instance, if a municipality, I don't know, builds a road and nobody comes, there are bonding provisions that have been in place, I believe, since the Industrial Siting Act came into effect in 1977. To protect local governments. So the purpose of industrial siting is not to be some super economic development organization that guarantees something gets built. The purpose of industrial siting is to allow local governments to plan for impacts. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in support of the bill, I think this was really just a drafting error that we made a year ago when we wanted to take care of the assurance that in the event a project went down, it would be decommissioned to the state standard. And these additional terms and conditions that were listed there of construct, maintain, and operate for the analysis of the Industrial Siting Commission, that isn't their necessary areas of expertise. And I wanted to push back just a little bit on the good representative from House District 40. This doesn't give them any relief from that at all. This is asking them to do something that's not in their area of expertise, and why have it in there? Because it's not effective and it's not the right place for it to be.
Any further discussion? Ready for a question? Question hasn't been called. All those in favor of Representative Lockhart's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 260 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 260 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 163. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 163, introduced by Representative Stewart, an act relating to water produced from geological sequestration. This bill was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, which recommended that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Hunt, Moniz, Semlek, No, Davison, Eklund, Laux, Swanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 163 do pass, and I'll turn the explanation of the bill over to the bill sponsor. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, will you, Chairman Semlich, do you care to move the standing committee amendment at this time?
I would move the standing committee amendment, and I further move the adoption of the standing committee amendment.
You've heard the motion on the standing committee amendment. Are you ready for the question? Question hasn't been called. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I am happy to bring you House Bill 163 that's perhaps dealing with a significant event, process, project that's going to be keeping our state in the game with respect to how we use our coal into the future. Now, it's important, I think, just to give you a little bit of history, Mr. Chairman, time allows, as why we are here today to talk about the produced water associated with the geologic sequestration of carbon dioxide. Some of you that were here a few years ago remember all the good work we did dealing with pore space and carbon capture and sequestration. And I think a lot of us can remember some of the diagrams that were handed out to our desks that showed, explained to us just what pore space was. And I surely remember a picture of a straw being stuck down deep into the earth and little bubbles going down in, injecting this CO2 into deep saline aquifers in a way to manage carbon in what's being referred to as a carbon-constrained world. And our ability to continue to use coal in the future, this I think, is an important component. And then as we look at this evolving technology, we do find out that, yes, in fact, there is pore space deep down in these saline aquifers. And in fact, yes, this pore space is occupied by water. And in order for us to pump this CO2 under pressure into these aquifers, we have to make room for it. And now we're finding out that there is going to be a significant amount of produced water associated with the reinjection of CO2 into these deep aquifers. Now, again, many years ago, a bit of the history that's important to understand with respect to our Title 41 statutes, meaning our water law, is that a previous state engineer made a determination based on our thank you, Ms. Representative, made a determination based on the statutes in place that this produced water could be permitted based on just the fact, when we look, well, let me back up. Based on the coal bed methane play, our state engineer made a determination that the permit for this produced water could be based on just the mere production of natural gas, coal bed methane gas, and that we didn't really need any other beneficial use, that the beneficial use associated with the permit for the coal bed methane was the production of natural gas. Now, looking at that, I realized that perhaps the same comparison, same test could be made to the produced water associated with geologic sequestration of carbon dioxide, and that just with that test, this water produced could be perceived as waste water. And ladies and gentlemen, I guess, and I may say this on a couple of occasions as we discuss this, I actually took the premise that I rejected the thought that the simple act of pumping water from our underground aquifers is a beneficial use. And the intention of this bill ladies and gentlemen, is to ensure that as this technology evolves, that we have a beneficial use associated with this. And before we get into the bill and a committee of the whole amendment, I would just like to say that I understand that we may not have a lot of the expertise on Title 41 statutes, but just keep in mind we rarely define beneficial use in our statutes, and our state engineer has broad authority to make that definition, make that standard. And the list is long, I can assure you, that the list could include anything from irrigation to domestic use, municipal, wetlands, and quite frankly, the list is quite long. With that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions, and I know there's a committee of the whole amendment.
Representative Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was a no vote in committee on this bill and would like to encourage this body to be a no vote on this bill at this time. This is a great step in both Wyoming water law and in our carbon sequestration law. And I'm not saying it's not needed. It may actually be, but I am definitely saying it needs more work and more time and a lot more discussion before we as a body take this massive step. And so here's a problem when you start talking about beneficial use. And quite honestly, I don't know as much as a good sponsor of this bill on beneficial use, but as they say, I know enough to be dangerous. And I do know we don't go messing with beneficial use too much, especially when it's going to deal with the carbon sequestration industry in our state. And we don't talk about it a lot in our statutes. It really is through case law and rules and regs. But in regards to carbon sequestration, I mean, we have an emerging technology that we're trying to get to prosper in the state. And we have done a lot of work in this body on pore space and landowner rights. And now we're going to delve into the beneficial use of water, which we haven't really talked about too much in regards to the sequestration industry up until now. And we're going to talk about it a lot more in future years. But what we're about to say with this bill is that in one specific instance of carbon sequestration, we're going to require CBM company to have the plan up front for their wastewater before we'll let them be permitted. And this is a bill that went through the Ag Committee, not the Minerals Committee. I'm certain the hearing would have been a little bit different in that committee with different people testifying, because carbon sequestration does have great value to the state. And to hamper its use by having to mandate a defined beneficial use for it up front could be very detrimental to a company that would like to pursue this technology. We talk a lot about saline formations in the bill, but right now there's no data or no standard on what is and what isn't classified as a saline foundation. And carbon sequestration, it really isn't the same as the CBM development we went through. And I'm aware of the problems we dealt with wastewater that went around and around this government for 4 or 5 years, about a decade ago. But that doesn't mean we have to treat sequestration the same way as we treated CBM. There are some people who really like the CBM water, and they put it to good use. And that's part of the problem why it took this body and our government so long to kind of get our hands around the issue, because people really did benefit from it. And in fact, people probably really will benefit from sequestration water. I mean, we're a semi-arid state. We've been in a drought for almost a decade. We're just now coming out. Trust me, people will put this water to good use. What it's going to do is it's not going to encourage sequestration companies to work with landowners. It's basically going to be another added burden, cost of doing business of them being forced to the table before they can even be permitted. And so I'm usually the first one in this body to be progressive in all areas and say we need new technologies. But this is one we have a couple of years to wait on until we have to get to. I mean, we're not behind the curve. We got 5, 10 maybe years before we really start doing these projects. We can send this bill to an interim committee. I mean, send it back to the Ag Committee, send it back to Minerals for an interim study, get to hear a lot more testimony than we got for 45 minutes in one committee session. So when we are talking about beneficial use and water law and the sequestration industry, I'd really appreciate doing more than one small statutory paragraph, because it is such a big issue that if we can work for another year, which we have time to do in the interim, to totally delve into this bill and what this water is going to mean to the state and the industry and our permitting process and how it could hamper, you know, business interests, I think we should do that. So at this time, I would encourage you to vote no on this bill, and hopefully we'll see it again in the next couple of years with a lot more tuning up on it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, we have a committee of the whole amendment. Representative Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move committee the whole amendment number one and urge your support. Additionally, I'm in support of the bill and its concept, and as you note, I'm one of the sponsors on it. As we were developing this bill, it was important in our minds for CO2 sequestration to not just automatically think that water produced for that process was of value. And so we drafted it on page 3, lines 7 through 13, the appropriate words to recognize the position that we strongly felt about. However, on page 2, we added something that on lines 8 through 10 that I'm asking to be deleted with the committee of the whole amendment number 1. And that was, is we overreached on deeming in this statute something that has historically been in the state engineer's office with lots of history, lots of practices to clarify what should and should not be constitute beneficial use. And as mentioned by the original purveyor of the bill, there's a lot of history there, and they've done it well for our state. So I'd urge support of the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 and the bill, and stand for questions.
Any further discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1? Majority Leader Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, I think this is a good amendment. I think it makes the bill a stronger bill. It's probably a little beyond the legislative province to be defining beneficial use when there's generations of case law that already make that definition. I'd urge your support of the amendment and then ultimately the bill.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I again urge your support of committee whole amendment number one. This, ladies and gentlemen, will take a part of my bill that has been somewhat confusing to people not quite as knowledgeable on water law, and I think it makes the bill a lot better. Thank you.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Committee of the whole amendment number one has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've heard enough discussion of this bill to recommend caution. Working in some of these areas and seeing CBM-produced water mixed up with salt water produced from CO2 sequestration, you know, you're about as far in fruits, you know, from apples to oranges you can get here, folks. CBM is a process where the water has to be extracted to lower the pressure head on the coal formation where the methane is absorbed onto the coal surfaces. The minute you take the water head off the coal, the gas effervesces out of the coal. It's desorbed out of the coal. Shake up a Coke can and open it, you're going to see the exact same effect. The CO2 comes out of solution. In carbon sequestration, again, we're worlds apart here. Coal bed methane, CBM, is at the surface. The first 1,000 feet of the surface, the pressures are very, very low. This carbon sequestration stuff, is you're talking way down there, 5,000, 8,000, 12,000 feet. And frankly, there's no displacing of water that's going on down there. You're pumping this CO2 down there. It's getting absorbed into the water, into solution, or absorbed onto minerals down there. So again, I heard all kinds of things that weren't quite right. And, you know, this brings me back to a questionnaire that went around to some of us earlier this year wanted to know what we wanted to talk about down here. And one of my comments was that, you know, when you look at laws and you look at regs and you look at what one industry does and another industry can't do, there's some huge disconnects. And we're back here again with this bill. We let one industry do something, pollute up to a certain level. We let another industry not pollute to that same level. We give them a certain different level. So we never can look at this playing field to see what works and what doesn't work to the economic benefits of our constituents here in Wyoming. So again, I don't know what this bill is doing, and from a science point of view, I recommend you vote against it.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good points being brought up, and I think I can address all of them. Mr. Chairman, again, go back to the history of where we have been to get to where we are today. Of course, our university is taking a lead with a pilot project with regard to carbon capture and sequestration in an uplift on the western side of our state, a geological formation. Now, I have been working very closely with the scientists involved with this process, and the leader of the director of our School of Energy Resources. There will be a significant amount of produced water associated with this pilot project. And make no mistake about that. When you hear comments that there will be no displacement, of course, that was the testimony we had a couple of years ago, which, in fact, in some areas where they are sequestering CO2, they can do that without displacing or producing any water. But in the pilot project that the state is embarking on, that is not the case. And of course, some of you will remember in a budget amendment last year, we put in a footnote requiring the university in this pilot project to come up with a plan for this produced water. The fact of the matter is that this water could not be put to a beneficial use. The water quality, we do know for a fact that it is saline. To the extent that it has a lot of salts in it. And, you know, I'm not a chemist or a geologist, but it is the brine content is significant. And the reason I referenced what happened in the coal bed methane play, I knew there was some danger, and I don't want to confuse this any more than it really is. The only analogy I'm making to the coal bed methane play is the fact that we had a previous state engineer make an interpretation of our statutes that allowed him to recognize the beneficial use as the production of natural gas. And there could be some similar lines being drawn to this emerging industry. Nothing in this statute in any way, shape, or form affects the coal bed methane industry. It does not affect oil and gas production in our state, and it does not affect dewatering of our coal seams. And I was very careful to craft this bill so it would not impact any of our minerals industry in any way, shape, or form. And I think you need to bear that in mind. There has actually been no resistance in my mind. Now, again, Mr. Chairman, I would just like to talk briefly about the paragraph that's left in the bill and just go over that briefly. And ladies and gentlemen, reading it briefly, to require any person producing water from geologic sequestration of carbon dioxide in saline aquifers. And it was just so darn important to be very clear in the definition of this, because by doing so, it does not in any way, shape, or form, as I said, impact or affect any of our minerals industry. To adequately demonstrate that the water produced. Now, here we have this comment said, unless reinjected below the surface or otherwise disposed of in accordance with, and the statutes cited here are our DEQ statutes. Ladies and gentlemen, what we find is that this water is so salty that through any treatment process, we will have what is being referred to as a supra-brine concentrated water that it's just bad water. And the intention right now, when I talk to the scientists and the geologists at the university, they're going to have a certain component of this produced water. They're just going to have to reinject back into the earth again. So we had to craft this to where this would allow them to reinject some of this supra brine
back into the earth and not have to associate a beneficial use with that. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the last paragraph goes on. This water, this produced water that will be treated, will be put to a beneficial use beyond the mere production of this carbon capture and sequestration, and shall seek a permit under another part of our statutes that refers to how we deal with other water associated with natural gas production. Now, again, I would stand for some more questions as we've worked through this.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just take the body back through a little bit of history. This group probably led the nation in addressing this issue of carbon sequestration. And we started back with ownership of pore space and then responsibilities for the injectors and then sequestration site utilization. We've done all of that. We're really kind of leading the nation. This tends to be something in the next step. There will be displaced water when you put CO2 into the ground, and we wanted to make sure we addressed that properly. This bill addresses that. So this is just a continuation of trying to find a way to continue using coal resources for the benefit of the state and the nation and the world, and to do something with the sequestration as we do it. And so I'd urge your support of the bill.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you know, the statement, excuse me, that all of the water produced from these, with the area of geologic sequestration of carbon dioxide and in saline aquifers, I guess where I'm troubled is both in normal oil field production from various geologic formations as with production from the coal bed methane wells. And I would assume you would have the same thing in this case. The condition of the water varies all over the place. I mean, we have a case of the water produced for the city of Warland is used for drinking water, and you go into the other places in the Big Horn Basin, it has a higher content of chemicals in it, dissolved solids, that doesn't make it drinking water, but it can be used for agriculture purposes. And also the whole issue with the coal bed methane water varies all over the place. And I guess for me, I would want to see the water analysis of these to various formations to basically see whether I would agree that this particular paragraph fits into that. Because if the water quality is such, low enough, it, as with coal bed methane, you know, it's a matter of, it's an agriculture issue, and with chemicals, a slight change, the waters can be used for agriculture purposes. And if we have a situation like this, then I'm concerned that we're eliminating the possibility of these waters being used. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that, I mean, I am a scientist. And as a chemical engineer, I've been involved over 30 years in the minerals industry, involved in the produced waters from oil production, and then a few years ago, the good representative from Laramie that also lives in the mother county now and then. He and I both served on the CBM Water Task Force that we had the same situation with CBM Water. So I would like to see this before I would agree to doing what we're doing with this bill. I'm not disagreeing. I just got to see it.
Chairman Lockhart. Chairman Brown, my, how you've gotten better looking.
Thank you, Chairman Brown. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did serve on the coal bed methane task force. We looked at a lot of water, produced water, all kinds of water problems. Some's good water, some's bad water. Now, this is a good amendment. This amendment is going to strike out any notion about whether the production of that water is a beneficial use or not. And what it does is go into 413909, which is the general powers of the state engineer. And that starts out and says, in the administration and enforcement of this act, the state, and in the effectuation of the policy of the state to conserve its underground water resources, the state engineer is authorized and empowered with the advice and consent of the Board of Control. So it's the state engineer with the Board of Control. Now, in the produced water area, one of the big struggles we had was with the state engineer being fully empowered to deal with produced water the way he could. This amendment goes in that now and says that the state engineer can, it doesn't say he has to, because this statute says the state engineer is authorized and empowered in consultation with the Board of Control. That means if he wants to, if they want to, he can require somebody that's producing water in one of these aquifers to demonstrate, unless it's going to be reinjected, that it'll be put to a beneficial use. He doesn't have to do that, but he can. And he can require somebody then to make an appropriation for what's called byproduct water, which is the same thing that's done from a lot of oil wells. So I see this as nothing but beneficial. It doesn't change the law of the land with respect to beneficial use. It doesn't tell the state engineer he has to do anything. It just broadens his powers. So he can go in there, and here's what we found on produced water and coal bed methane. Some of it is really good irrigation water. Some of it you can drink. Some of it's really good. It goes from there to some of the most toxic stuff you ever saw. In between is a lot of areas where it's dependent on both the chemistry of the water and the chemistry of the soil. And if those two chemical properties of the water and the soil are correct, it can be used as a beneficial use on there. If one of them is out of kilter with the other, then it can't. And the danger of some of that produced water is the chemistry of either one is fine, but when they're combined, it just turns the soil into a hard pan and it wrecks it, probably wrecks it forever. And so what this does is broaden the state engineer's discretion to say it's got to be put to beneficial use or to ignore it and let them do with it whatever they want to. And if it's going to be put to beneficial use, then it further broadens its power to say, not only that, but I want you to go appropriate this water into a certain area so that I can be sure that the chemistries of the water and the soil match up and everything's all right. So I see nothing but good from this amendment. I wouldn't like the bill without it, but with this amendment, I think it's a really good bill, and I think that we ought to vote for it.
Representative Stewart.
Just to respond to a few other points. Again, we're going to have, you know, I talked about significant quantities of produced water. The numbers they're using is about 10,000 acre feet a year. And over the life of the project, of course, we don't know what the life of the project is. But again, that's a lot of water. A comment was made that my bill eliminates this water from ever being used. And I just got to say, quite the contrary. What I'm trying to do is make sure this water is used. With the good example that you recognized, perhaps a city could benefit from this water, a municipality, irrigation, a water park, wetlands, and even we have a coal-fired power plant near where this project's being planned. Very easy, I can see an effort for them to grab onto this water to use that water for cooling for their power plant. And ladies and gentlemen, again, back to the history. When this was first started being discussed, some of the people in the know, the scientists, the geologists, they were basically saying, you know, all we really need to do with this produced water, we can just dig a big old pit out there, big old hole, and line that and pump that water out there. And that would be just adequate. And we could protect our coal industry with that, ladies and gentlemen. But I say we can do a better job with our water and give that water value. And what this bill does, it gives that produced water value. And we can use it within the borders of our state. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Childers?
Vote aye. Call for the question.
Question hasn't been called. All those in favor of Representative Semlek's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 163 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
House Bill 163 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 1:45 p.m.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, before we, I think we're at that order of business of committee announcements.
Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, Chairman Brown.
Mr. Chairman, your Judiciary Committee number one will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 8th at 6:58 a.m. in room 302 to consider the following bills. Senate Joint Resolution 2, Health Care Freedom. Senate Joint Resolution 5, Defense of Marriage Constitutional Amendment.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions will meet right now in House 18. We're going to take up Senate File 4, Elections, Military and Overseas Voters, Senate File 23, Engrossed, Mail Ballot Elections, Senate File 3, Engrossed, Campaign Finance Organizations, Senate File 20, Engrossed, Election Code Revisions, and there won't be time, but it's on, Senate File 14, Counties, Elections, and Election Districts.
Chairman Korberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 8th, 10 minutes after adjournment in room H-17. We will consider the following bills: Senate File 18, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Act Compliance, Senate File 26, Engrossed, County Roads, Speed Limits, and Local Authority to Alter, Senate File 42, Engrossed, Choice License Plates for Disabled Veterans, and Senate File 43, Engrossed, Title 19, Veterans Commission Duties.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee Number 6, Travel. We'll meet Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. in room 302, where we will consider the following bills. Senate File 63, Engrossed, Game and Fish Donations, Hunting Licenses, and Senate File 47, Engrossed, Concealed Weapons.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to hear Senate File 106.
Further announcements. You've heard the motion from the good majority floor leader that we sit in recess till 1:45. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House is in recess until 1:45 p.m.